meet you in the morning. That's our goal. That's our hope. With this faith and this hope, we'll be able to carve out of the mountain of despair a positive vision of the future as children of God. I'll meet you in the morning. That is a song that is particularly meaningful for me. That was a song that kept coming back to my mind when I spent a week in the hospital in November and December of 2009. I find myself repeating the words of that song over and over again. I will meet you in the morning. Singing is very therapeutic. As we sing out loud and as we go over the words of songs in our minds meditatively, they serve to strengthen our faith. They serve to bolster our hopes and our aspirations for our heavenly home. By our singing, we are encouraged. By our singing, our spirits are lifted. By our singing, we are comforted, and by our singing, we are commensurately uplifted and enriched. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read just a few moments ago. Brother Solomon read our scripture lesson, Hebrews chapter 12, which is a passage familiar to most of us, verses 1 through 4. Wherefore, verse number 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, or compassed about, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience, endurance, steadfastness, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Paul knew about the athletic contests of his day, particularly the ones that involved running. This is evident from the fact that he refers to these races periodically in his writings. In this particular passage, Paul speaks of several things related to racing as he compares the Christian life to running a race. This is one of the most stirring passages in all of sacred literature. A passage that is written for the purpose of stirring us to run and to keep on running in the Christian race of life. Question: what is the Christian race? Well, the Christian race is an endeavor that can be described in a number of different ways. It is the race for heaven. It is the race for life, both abundant life in this life and eternal life in the world to come. It is the race to live with God forever. It is the race for perfection, a perfect life and world in which there is no suffering, no corruption, no evil, no sin, no sickness, and no death. It is the race for righteousness and justice. It is the race for the promised land, the eternal land where we can live forever with God. It is the race to know God, to commune and fellowship with Him, both now and forever. This is the great Christian race, the great goal toward which believers are running. They believe in God and in His great promise of living with Him forever and ever. They believe in God's glorious promise of that beautiful city that stands four square. Believers know that if they endure to the end, they shall be escorted into the very presence of God and granted blessed entrance into that celestial city. Believers know that God has a special place prepared for them. Let's focus for a few minutes on this Christian race. When we look at this particular race, we want to look at several things. One, we want to look at the witnesses. Notice he says, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. When we look at this cloud of witnesses, some of these witnesses here refer back to the great biblical characters spoken of in the previous chapter, in chapter 11, the chapter that precedes 12. The crowd at a race or other athletic contests can be a great help in inspiring and cheering you on in your performance, knowing that those spectators are there and can identify with you and are pulling for you and are cheering you on. When we read of the lives of the great saints recorded in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it inspires us to do well in our performance, just as a crowd inspires athletic performances. And we can consider these as witnesses, as spectators. We are in the game, we are in the race, and their lives serve as sources of motivation, sources of inspiration, sources of encouragement. And we need as much encouragement as we possibly can have in days like these, in times like these, facing challenges like these, dealing with troubles like these, having to associate with and work with people like the people we have to work with. We need all of the motivation, all of the inspiration, all of the encouragement, all of the cheering on that we possibly can have as children of God. Indeed, these are times that try men's souls. In some ways, they are the best of times. In other ways, they are the worst of times. So when we recognize that many of these heroes of the faith that are cataloged in Hebrews chapter 11, men like the men of whom we read and studied in our lesson this morning, men like Abraham, men like Isaac, men like Jacob, men like Joseph, who manifested loyalty, devotion, dedication, and consecration and commitment to God, a man who was righteous, a man who was just, a man who was upright, a man of integrity. We need the inspiration provided by men like these. Men like Daniel, men like the Hebrew boys, men like Elijah, and men like Elisha, men like Ittai, men like David, men like Jeremiah, men like Joshua, and we could name numerous other biblical characters that are ensconced in the pages of inspiration. We can consider these as spectators, consider these as witnesses that can identify with us. But he says, not only are we compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, but he says, in order to facilitate and enhance our ability to move forward and to race effectively, he speaks of not only the witnesses, but he speaks of weights. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. To run a good race, the runner does not carry around any unnecessary weight that would slow him down and greatly hinder his running from reducing the weight and the fat of his body to removing the long and heavy roads that would weigh him down and entangle him. When running, the runner gets ready to run. You know, some of the weights that can hinder us are not sinful in and of themselves. There are some things that are not wrong in and of themselves that can hinder us, that can impede our progress, that can serve to trip us up. You know, one of the things that can serve to hinder us, our recreational involvement, our hobbies, our habits. There are a number of things that can hinder us as we endeavor to run the Christian race. Sin is spoken of here as the great hindrance to living the Christian life, and there are so many sins that we could enumerate that can serve to hinder our Christian race: envy, jealousy, gossiping, covetousness, drunkenness, a whole host of sins, unfaithfulness. All of these are things that can hinder outrunning the Christian race. You know, when it comes to track and field events, when it comes to running particularly, there are basically two kinds of races. You have the sprint races that focus on speed. I was talking to Brother Marcus on yesterday, and he was telling me that he's in track and field. He wrestles and he also runs. But he was telling me that, I said, what kind of running do you do? Do you do distance running or do you do sprint running? And he indicated, if my memory serves me properly, that he does distance running. And he mentioned his long legs as providing him with a meaningful advantage as he competes against his competitors. I don't know exactly how fast or how far he can run, but he seems to be pretty good. I would challenge him, but I have passed the age of running sprint or distance races without some difficulty. Since I raced my 9-year-old nephew, who is now 27, some years ago, my wife placed a moratorium on my racing, and she has not allowed me to participate in a race since that time long ago. So I have hung up my running shoes and I have retired from racing on a physical level, but I continue to run the Christian race, the spiritual race. You can have aches and pains in your back and knees and in your decrepit feet and still run the Christian race, even when confined to a wheelchair or when depending upon the assistance of a walker or cane. You still can be involved in the Christian race. When it comes to the Christian race of which the Hebrew writer speaks, it requires endurance. It requires steadfastness. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And this signifies the work that is involved and the work that actually constitutes the running of the race. Here is reference to the actual running. And there are several things in this connection we need to consider, and then the lesson will be yours. First, we are to run fervently. Run. We are to be fervent in our faith. Second, we are to run steadfastly, that is, with patience, with endurance. Runners know that during the race, often the whole body cries out to stop long before the race is over. To run well, we must run faithfully. And third, we are to run correctly. We are to follow the prescribed course of the race. And we are to follow the rules and the regulations that govern the race. The race that is set before us, We are to run the course prescribed by God. He has a calling for each of us. We must run that course. We must go the way He directs, or we will not run correctly, and we will not be able to win the prize if we fail to run the race correctly. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we will conclude. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse number 24. Notice, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" And then he exhorts and admonishes, "So run that ye may obtain." And he says in verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." And then verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." Verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, or I myself should be a reject, or I myself should be a reprobate." Paul was very careful, very well disciplined, because he was striving to receive the prize. Let us have the same commitment. Let us have the same dedication. Let us have the same enthusiasm. Let us have the same zeal. Let us have the same steadfastness. Let us exemplify the same kind of endurance. Let us give the Christian race our very best. Let us run the race with everything that we have. And we are assured not a crown of fading, corruptible laurel leaves, or even silver or gold or bronze, but we strive for the crown of life, which fades not away. How serious are you about running the Christian race? If you have embarked upon the race but have grown weary and discouraged, if you have become depressed, if you have become weak and weary and have decided to pull out of the race, wrong choice, bad choice. And I know when you're running, oftentimes you grow weary, you grow discouraged. But when you think about what's in store for you, when you think about the end of the race, when you think about what will be gained by you completing the race faithfully, it should reinvigorate you with new energy. It should refresh your determination. It should rejuvenate your spirit as you continue to run. and get what they call, for you who have done some running, what they call the second wind. The thing about this race, if you fall out, if you drop out, the Lord will allow you to re-enter the race and resume the race. There are some very simple stipulated conditions with which you must comply in order to resume the Christian race. For those who might have become discouraged and might have dropped out, those who might have given up, those who might have thrown up your hands, those who might have thrown in the towel, through repentance, confession, and prayer, you can be reinstated and you can begin again to run the Christian race. Believe me, it is well worth the commitment. It is well worth the effort. It is well worth the zeal and enthusiasm with which you commit yourself to run. Why not enter the race again this evening as we together stand and as we sing?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me free?